Praise God, this is January the 30th, Sunday morning, and we're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Now, I want to jump over to chapter 4, the next chapter over, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read, starting with verse 2. Let's just start with verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that they be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? Now you are full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. Now I want to stop there. Past couple of days, I keep hearing wise master builder, that I'm a wise master builder. And Paul made the statement in chapter 3. In verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. It comes to me that we're all builders. Every single one of us are architects. We are to be the architect of our lives. And God has already given us a foundation to build upon. And I am a wise master builder. In other words, Jesus said, be as wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. That's the instructions. Another place he says, walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We've been given lots of instructions on how to be a wise master builder. We've been given so many instructions and so much understanding, and the grace of God is what gives us the ability to be these wise master builders of our own lives. And you know something about a builder? You talk to any builder, they would much rather start from the ground up building a house. I mean, it's a whole lot easier just to build something fresh than to take a mess where the plumbing's all messed up and the wiring's all messed up. I'm sure you understand that. And try to rebuild that thing and fix all the problems and yank stuff out and replace stuff. It's just better to start fresh and build a house, right? Amen. But do you know something? When God got a hold of us, we had some messes going on. We had some leaky stuff going on. We had some broken things in our lives. We had some problems that we just have to get fixed. We don't come perfected to God. When we come to Him, He has some work to do on us. Because there's things that are broken, things that aren't working, things that are just not in good shape. And those things have to be torn down. They have to be ripped out. They have to be put in their place. Most of the time it's in the dumpster. You salvage what you can, but then you've got to start from the ground sometimes and start over. You take what you got. Well, the Holy Spirit is saying here today that we are His temple. We are His husbandry. We are His workmanship. I'm His workmanship in Christ Jesus. He said that in another place. But we are truly a masterpiece in the mind of God. We are an absolute masterpiece. He sees you at the perfection of what He has called you to be. He sees the end product of our lives. He sees what He's designed us to become. When He got a hold of my life, He got a hold of the biggest mess. Can y'all say I'm a big mess? I was a big mess. I was the biggest mess. But I know what He's done for me. Yes, I was wild. I just had things wired wrong. I just had things out of whack. I didn't think right. I didn't feel right. My emotions were wrong. My feelings were wrong. My ideas were wrong. My character was wrong. The priorities were not right. I didn't have insight to things. I didn't have understanding to things. And I really just didn't know. You know, what you don't know can kill you. Amen. Verse 16 of chapter 3 says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God?" The temple of God is going to be beautiful. You're supposed to be beautiful. You are carrying around the most precious cargo. You are carrying around the power and the presence of Jesus Christ in your life, in your spirit. Your spirit, man, is alive unto God. You've been born again and you have the capacity to walk and talk with God. He's given you of His Spirit so you can communicate with Him. We have a relationship with God and we're supposed to have fellowship with God. And we're supposed to know Him intimately. And you can't know God until you get yourself ready to know God and right in the things of God. Because God cannot fellowship with yucky stuff. He can't have fellowship with sin. He can't have fellowship with worry and fear and unbelief. He is not happy with that stuff. He wants you to entertain Him, be filled with Him, love Him, walk with Him, talk with Him. And I kept hearing different scriptures say, "Seek you me and you shall live." In Amos, He said, "Seek you me and you shall live." You know, the word live or the word life, Zoe, many times means eternal life. It means an eternity exists in you. Your body is a temple of the living God. You're His house. You're His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Paul was given the revelations he was given, not by man. He said, "I never received it of man, neither was I taught it by man, but by revelation of the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Jesus Christ." And God the Father gave him everything he wrote. You know, he had to really start and scrap a bunch of stuff he had learned in his life. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He has educated man, but he had to take a bunch of stuff to the dumpster and start over. And God had to start a fresh work in that man's revelation and understanding of what the kingdom of heaven was all about. Scrap a bunch of stuff. If you think you're wise in this world, you just might as well just say, "I will be a fool for Christ. I'm not going to trust my own understanding." God will begin to reveal things to you and me personally. He wants to talk to us intimately and personally. But we've just got to get in the Word and get His. First of all, you know what? I am known of God. I had to have a revelation of that, the fact that I am known of God. God knows me. I don't have to beg and scream and cry and holler and hope that He hears me. I know He hears me. I know He knows me. He knows me by name. If Darlene calls me, I don't even have to see her name. When I hear her voice, that's Darlene. Rosemarie calls me, I hear her voice. I know her voice. I know it's Darlene. I know it's Rosemarie or Nancy or anyone else. See, I know them. There's an intimacy. There's a relationship going on. But a lot of people do not know God. They know him way off somewhere and they know about him, but they don't know him. But your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the thing that I think that just really needs to grab us this morning is that we need to understand that we are responsible for how we build upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. We personally have got to take responsibility for what we do in our lives and every decision and everything we say and everything we do, because if we're going to give an account before God one day for every idle word that we speak, that's also in the instruction manual. There are some instructions here on how to build and how to lay a foundation. The foundation's already been laid, but I'm talking about how to build thereupon. Now, the thing that he says, now, if any man, verse 12 of our text, now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, that sounds like a good thing to build with. Amen. You know, a builder that builds a house out of gold, they got some money going on. They got some resources. They've got access to something very strong and that's enduring. Silver, precious metals. Then there's stones. Precious stones, there's wood, hay, and stubble. You see the contrast? Do you see the contrast in this text? That there is definitely different types of building materials that you can use to build with. You might look at what you're building with. You might look at what you're using to build your house with. There's a powerful scripture in Proverbs that says, "By wisdom is a house built. By understanding, it's established. And by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all pleasant and precious riches." Everybody wants the pleasant and precious riches. Everybody wants the good stuff. Everybody wants the nice china, the nice furniture. Everybody wants the nice chandeliers. Everybody wants those things in their lives. But they haven't even got the house built to put it in. And they certainly haven't established the house. That means you put a shingle on it. That means you've got an address. That means you're established. You know who you are. You know who God is. You know where you're going. You just walk around in the peace of God, because he said, "Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, I give you peace." If you're not walking around in peace, you're pretty probably not established in the things of God. So don't expect the precious and great and precious riches, because your chamber can't hold it yet. It's not ready for those things. Get yourself established in the Word. Get yourself established in the things of God. You know, "Eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." You have access to anything God has through the Holy Spirit. "He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." You see, these are things that you just become to understand as a wise master builder, that you have access to things of the kingdom of God. And God wants to make you and mold you into what he wants you to be. Don't be telling God what to do with yourself all the time. Don't be telling God how to do this and that. You get in the Word and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you into all truth. That's his job. He came to live in me so he could be the one who leads me and guides me into truth. Revelation knowledge comes from God. It doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from a textbook. It comes from God. A relationship with God will teach you more than any seminary will ever teach you. I didn't get to go to seminary, but I'm telling you what, I know God. I know God. I get corrected by God. You don't want to smack down by God, as he will do it. You belong to him. He's responsible for you. If you've named the name of Christ, he's responsible for you. He's going to reveal the hearts one day, every one of us. And it'd be like who was it was talking about? It's better to be right now. Somebody said something about being real right now with God. Be open with him right now. Be real with him right now, because he's going to know. He's already going to know. Like, I think it was you, Walter. We're all going to stand before God. We're all going to stand. And so whatever we built right now, whatever we've builded upon this foundation of Jesus Christ, whatever we've done in our lives, that's all we got. That's what we're taking with us. Whenever I arrive, when that train takes off and I'm delivered there, whatever I've put in me now as a wise master builder, that's what I'll arrive with. Isn't that something to think about? I'm his temple. I walk around with the Holy Ghost all the time in me. All the time. Do y'all ever see the peace of God in me? Y'all do. Because I got it. Get a bad report? Get a bad situation? Get a problem come? Who doesn't have a problem? If you live in this life, in this particular world frame, you're going to have a problem. But there's something I do with the problems. Let me tell you what I do with the problems as a wise master builder. I cast the problem upon him. He said, call upon me in the time of trouble. I will hear and I will help. Thank God I got a helper. It's in Hebrews chapter 13 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Amen. Who do you think you are, oh man? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, you got to be established in some things. That's what I'm talking about. Getting a shingle, get an established address, getting know where your residency really is, because you're really, your residency is in heaven. You've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have been given a new name in heaven. You've been written and engraved in the palm of his hand. You're the apple of his eye, darling. It doesn't matter how other people see you. You're special to God. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Yes, yes, yes. You don't want to raise God's eyebrow. You don't want to do that. I don't particularly want to handle the things of God unholy, and I handle them carefully. So I'm responsible to build upon my house, because let me tell you, the fire will expose it. Problems and fires and troubles in your life will expose just what kind of thing you're made of. Where's your foundation? My foundation is in Jesus Christ. What are you building there upon? What have you been building? What have you been doing with your life? If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. And that just, people just say that, oh, well, that's easy. That is not easy. It's not easy. Because there's times when you got to reap when there's a famine. There's times you got to reap when there's a problem. There's times you got to pull something out, because you've got a treasure, though, in an earthen vessel if you put it there. See, I've got some treasures that I can pull out. I've got some nuggets. You talk about those gold nuggets? See, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Yes. The entrance of thy word giveth light. No matter how dark it is out there, when you've got his word, you've got light. His word is a light to your feet and a light to your path. A lamp to your feet, a light to your path. He's got a revelation for you, no matter what bad it looks, no matter how what the situation is. He's got a revelation to give you for that time and trouble. He's got just one just for that situation. And you know what you do with it? You take it thereupon and you build on it. You lay it up in your treasure. You lay it up on your house. I think this will work right here just fine. Let's put that rock right here. Let's put that stone right here. See, plumbing needs to be fixed. Fix it. Because God's word will give you everything you need to build it. And build it right. So you won't have to be coming back later on and fixing things again. Because see, you know, Jesus was a carpenter. He knew how to build a piece of furniture and that it would last. I don't believe he made cheap stuff. I believe he made things that would last. You buy a piece of furniture from him, they had it a while. Because he knew how to put us together. He knows how to build you and me. He knows how to make us work. He knows our weaknesses. He knows. David said, thou knowest mine uprising and my downsettings, and you know my thoughts are far off, and lo, there's not a word in my mouth, but you know it all together. Let me tell you something. God knows you way better than you know him. Isn't that the truth? He knows what a mess you are. Quit trying to act like you're all together. I'm not all together. I know I'm a mess. And there's still something in me that needs to be fixed. But he is the master builder of all time. And then he says, you're God's husbandry. You're God's workmanship. Isn't that good news? It's in Ephesians. That verse is in Ephesians. Let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm telling you what, that is a definitely one. That's one shingle. That's one block. That's one brick you better put inside of you. There's many, many, many things that God wants to put in us, and so we can be established in his ways and his word. And that's a big one right there. Another one is 1 Corinthians 10:13. We won't go there, but there is no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. But with the temptation, make a way to escape that you can be able to bear it. That's another block you better put in your wall.
Hallelujah.
Glory. We're Pentecostal here. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Glory. Yes, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If I'm not doing good works, I'm not doing God's work. If I'm not doing something good, guess what the opposite of good is? It's bad. You're either doing good or you're doing bad. And if you're doing good, you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I'm going to tell you something. God watches everything we do. He knows everything you say. Remember I said, there's not a word in your mouth, but he knows it all together. We would be good to get a big old piece of tape sometimes and just shut it up. How hard it is to control that tongue. James says that it's a world of iniquity. It sets on fire hell, or set on fire of hell. Glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I want to go back, though, this verse in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. And I want to say this, verse 9 and 10. For we are laborers together with God. You are not alone. We are not alone. We are a part of a huge body called the body of Christ in the earth. And there's many members in this body. And we all have a particular place here in this world. We all have a different work. We all have a different thing that God is using us to do for humanity, for good works. Amen. And there's different churches doing different things. And I can't, just because we're Pentecostal here doesn't mean that the Presbyterian church isn't doing some good things. They are. They're a part of the body also. Can the foot say to its hand, or the hand say to the foot, you're not part of the body? No, we're all part of the big body of Jesus Christ in the earth right now. But it's always to good works. And we are laborers together with God. See, I used to think that I had to do all this alone. I had to serve God alone. No, God says, you're with me. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will live in you. I will be in you. He said, I'm going away, but it's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, I can't send the comforter back to you. But when I go back away, I'm going to send the promise of the Holy Spirit back to you. Do you know that was the greatest revelation to me, that I have the Holy Spirit living in me. I'm not alone. If you're not aware of how present he is, you need to work on that. Work on his presence. I talk to the Holy Spirit. Work on the presence of the Holy Spirit, because he's the very real part of the Godhead who is in the earth today. He's the one who does the miracles. He's the one who raises the dead. He raised Jesus from the dead. He's the one who does the works. I can't do anything without his help. He's the one who gives me the word. He's the one who teaches me the same anointing. He said, he'll teach you all things. You have no need that, he said in John, no need that any man teach you, but that anointing will teach you all things. You can hear whatever God wants you to hear. You know, he, in one place, as a young girl, I heard the Lord say, there's many things I would say to you, but you can't bear it now. There's things that God wants to tell you and I, but we're not ready for the roof yet. We haven't even got the first level built. We've got to get a wall up where God can start giving us these revelations. Paul said, you're still on milk. I can't even explain some things to you all until you get out of the baby stage. You're still wearing diapers. Really, we are. Some of us, we have a mess. God just has to clean us up. But this is the verse I wanted to get to before I close. Is in verse 10, this one sentence. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. If something is being given unto me, I want to take advantage of it. But what I want you to see here is so important, that many Christians live their entire lives. Yeah, they're going to heaven when they die. They struggle. They cry. They pray. They're in fear. They're on drugs. They're on a pill. They got to take a pill to get peace. They got to get to take a pill to go to sleep. They got to have something all the time from the world system. But this thing that he's saying here, he said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now, Paul's an apostle. Granted, he is in a class he's in an elite class of individuals called of God as an apostle to the Gentiles in the early church day. But I'm going to tell you, God's grace is still just as efficient today to give you whatever you need to build your life in his kingdom and for his kingdom and for his glory and to good works, as he was giving it to Paul to do what he did in his day. Whatever a position and job God has given you and I to do, whatever it is in life, the grace is available to get the job done. There's just no other way around it. God is no respecter of persons. I've said this and I keep saying this. I've read it over 30 times. I researched it. How many times, God, does it say God is no respecter of persons? Over 30 times in the New Testament alone, it says it. I've searched it out. Wow. God is no respecter of persons. If he did it for Samuel, or if he did it to David, if he did it for, well, whoever, he'll do it for me. His grace is sufficient for me. That's just good. Don't think God is not going to cast you away. He said, he's not going to cast you away. If nothing else, we're the ones who cast away our confidence. He says, you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you can receive the promise. Many of us don't receive the promise because we just give it up, throw it away, walk away, get disgusted, get discouraged. I'll just forget that. It's just easier just to forget it because you don't want to pay the price to get the building done. Amen? Because there's a fire coming and you better get your building built and you better get a building right. Fires will come in life. If you live long enough, you're going to have some problems. Do you think the same depressions hit you don't hit me? You don't think the same fears that come at you don't come at me? You don't think the same worries and things that happen to you that happen to me? You know, we're all in this world together. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I just believe that some of us have taken time to allow the grace of God to work in us and help us become the builders of our own lives so we can know how to deal with life and deal with situations, because the fire is going to reveal what kind of work you've done. The fire will reveal it. If you ever just see me just a puddle on the floor over here, if something comes along, you know, I didn't work very hard on that area, whatever it was. Do you all see what I'm talking about? I've seen pastors and ministers of gospel and just lay people go through some horrendous things, but they don't lose their joy of God. They still hold on to the joy of God. They've got joy because their joy didn't come. Man didn't give it to them. People didn't do it for them. God did it. And that's a foundation that cannot be uprooted. It's not of this world. So the world things cannot affect that. That's what he's talking about. Let every man take heed how he builds there upon that foundation of Jesus Christ. You've got the strongest foundation to build upon that has ever existed. I'm talking about the buildings at Times Square have nothing to compare to what Jesus has given us to build upon. I don't care how big the skyscrapers are. I'm telling you what, we're on a foundation that's solid. It'll not, the gates of hell can't even touch it. Glory to God. He has given us a lot of word this morning. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. Nothing. I like that. Nothing. Nothing shall offend me. You've got to make this personal, though. You've got to say, this is my word. This is my walk. This is my relationship. And I'm the wise master builder of my own life. Jesus said, let a man take heed how he builds thereupon. There's people that are building on sand, and there's some that are building up on a rock. He's the rock. He is the rock. And he says, when the winds come, the rains come, if you're built upon a sand, it's going to wash away. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's not God's fault. Don't be mad at God if things blow apart because you didn't take the time to build. You didn't take time to pray. You didn't take time to read the word. You didn't take time to seek God. You didn't take time to really be hungry about the things of God. And there's something about being hungry about God that you got to ask God, help me be hungry for you. Help me want you. Help me seek you. Help me put aside. I'm so busy, God. I got this demand. I got this demand. God, give me grace to have. There's the grace, the ability to take the time to do what you got to do first. If we don't take the time to pray and we don't take the time to build there upon, my prayer life is number one. I tried not praying for a while and see what would happen. My life fell apart. Prayer life, my prayer life, 365 days a year. 365 days a year, I pray every day. Every day. Every day. I may not fast every week, but I fast and pray as the Spirit leads me to fast. I was thinking about this morning. If I hadn't have been sensitive to God, lots of things that God has told me to fast about or pray about, I wouldn't have done because I would have been too busy. But because I try to keep my ear to the ground and I try to keep my heart open to God and sensitive to Him through prayer, and praying in tongues is the most powerful way to keep sensitive to God. Because when you're praying, it's like keeping the pipes open. Yes. Nothing worse than having stopped up pipes. And you aren't praying and God is keeping the prayer language going. I pray in tongues every day. Paul said, I pray more than you all. Mm-hmm. Yes. Prayer language is a powerful part of building yourselves up. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks wisdom and mysteries, divine secrets. Like you said, things that are going on in your life and family that you don't, no one else knows about, or you don't know about, but God knows. See, praying in tongues, I tell people, you need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And you can't get baptized in the Holy Ghost unless you're in a place where you really want it. He's not going to throw anything on you. You had to go seeking that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You know, I'll take you one other place. I was reading something that really ministered to me. It's in Galatians. And it's, let me find it here. I read Galatians this week about five times through. It's just really been a challenge to read Galatians that many times. Sit down and read it once. Then sit down and read it twice. Then sit down and read it three times. Read it out loud four times. Read it and really read it and really allow it to come into you. See, I'm a wise master builder. I'm not stupid. I'm an architect. I know I've got some building to go on. And you talk about distractions, talk about interruptions, talk about hard to concentrate. I could sit and read a Reader's Digest easier than read that. Is it not the truth? And Lord is wanting to speak something to me. And after all that I read in Galatians, after all that I read, this verse right here came out at me above everything else I read. And it's all so good. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Because if you know the book of Galatians, it's talking about Judaism opposed to what Christianity really is. And they were trying to bring some of the disciples that were Gentiles under circumcision, and it's really a wonderful book. But when you read it all, as many times as I've read it, this one verse just jumped out at me. And it's in chapter 5, verse 14. This is still talking about being a wise master builder. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. One word. If I could speak 100 words, if I could preach 100 messages, if I could quote every scripture in the Bible, here's the one word Paul said. Here's the one word. The one word. But all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Whoa. That is amazing. The whole, all the law is fulfilled in this one word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know how impossible that is to do if you don't love yourself? Do you know how impossible it is to love people because you're the biggest mess ever was? You can't love, how are you going to love a mess? You don't love yourself when you're a mess. You got to get fixed first. And God is going to help us build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Thank God he laid that foundation. And that we can become a masterpiece. A beautiful architectural masterpiece to the glory of God. Walking around the temple of God. You know, the temple of God was a spectacle to look upon. It was spectacular. It was glorious and beautiful, full of glorious potteries and gold and, I mean, ivories and all these things. That's what God wants us to look like. And he wants us to be filled with his presence and walk in his spirit and be filled with the peace of God. But we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. I had something happen to me that changed my life forever. I had a girl that tried to kill me. I was about 17, 18 years old. She had an affair with my husband. She was pretending to be my friend, but secretly she was rendezvousing with him. And I was only about 19. I was 19 and she was 17. And she was my best friend. She was in my house every day, but I didn't realize when I'd take off and go somewhere, she'd be coming to the house. And I went through a divorce in 1975. And then I became a Christian in 1978. But this girl put me through hell on earth. I mean, she tried to run me off the road. She tried to kill me. She sent police to my house, tried to have me arrested. I mean, terrorized me. Everywhere I'd go to the grocery store, she'd start cussing and screaming. She attacked me physically, ripped all my clothes off, and beat me half to death one day in front of all these people. I mean, I went through a lot with this girl. I went through a divorce over her. I mean, it was just horrible. And then her brother married my sister-in-law, which made it even worse. So she was in the family now. And I'm not a Christian. I don't have any hope. I don't have any help. And we get back together, my husband and I get back together, but I still had hatred and hurt and bitterness in my heart toward this girl. And I mean, I wanted to murder this girl. I actually planned for about a year how to get rid of her, because I didn't want her in the family for sure. And she was always after my husband. And I planned how I'm going to get rid of this girl. I had bitterness in my heart. If you ever have bitterness, it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. Don't ever let bitterness get there. And so I really thought, I really had murder in my heart. I conceived it. And I woke up every day consumed with it. Consumed with it. I don't know if you've ever been through anything like this, but I've been through it with this consuming hatred and vengeance. And it consumes your thought life. It consumes your mind. It's just almost like it's like an octopus. It just gets tentacles in you, and it just wants to grab you and hold you in bondage. And that's what it did. Every waking minute was just like consumed about how I'm going to get rid of this girl. I hated this girl. Well, then when I got born again in my kitchen in 1978, a few years later, I mean, God just made me a new creature. He totally took the stony heart and gave me a new heart. But I'm telling you, there's things in us that still needs fixed. Stuff is in us that needs to be corrected, replaced. Parts have got to be replaced. Things have got to be taken care of. So I was at my mother-in-law's house a few months after I got saved, maybe only a month after I got saved and got born again. And here she comes. We're at the mother-in-law's house, and here she comes pulling up in the driveway in her little hot pants and halter top and cutesy blonde hair. And you know what? I just ran. I ran to the back room. I started feeling a panic attack. See, God will make you face your demons. He'll make you face your problems, things to control your life. And I mean, I remember my hands started shaking, my legs started shaking, and I fell on my knees. I locked the door, and I said, I'm just going to stay in here, God, until she leaves. And I just started praying. I said, God, I don't want to face her. Please don't make me face her. I do not want to face her. And the Holy Spirit, here's the grace, came into my life. He said, you have to. I have to? You have to face her. You have to. God, I don't want to see her. I don't want to face her. You have to. See, God is taking some things out of me, throwing them in the dumpster, and putting something new in me. He's doing a work. I'm his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. He that began a good work in me will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus. He started a good work. He's doing to perform it. There's still stuff in there I'm sure he's got to take out in the dumpster. But what happened was, this verse right here, the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, love your neighbor as yourself. It's been a process because I didn't love myself. Most people don't. Because you see your ugly days. You see your ugly times. You know yourself. You know yourself. You know when you're ugly. You know you're not doing things right. And you know, you just know. And sometimes we don't like ourselves. And we beat ourselves up. And we have self-denial and self-persecution and self all kinds of junk. And that's where drugs really are. That's where drugs and all that stuff comes from. Because we really are in self-destruct mode. Because we don't like ourselves. But God will help you like yourself. Because he knows that you cannot fulfill his law if you don't love yourself. Because you can't love other people until you do love yourself. Do you all getting that? Is that a truth? That's a truth. Amen. So, I'm in that bedroom. This happened to me 32 years ago, but I was just like it was yesterday. And I'm crying and I'm begging God. I said, God, I cannot face this girl. And the Holy Spirit said, you have to. And I said, and I heard Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was in a concentration camp. Anybody ever heard her testimony? And she was talking about how that she had to face one of the men had beaten and raped her over and over and over in the concentration camp. And she told God, I'll never forgive him. I cannot forgive him. And the Lord says, you have to. And she said, God, you're going to have to make me willing to even be willing to forgive him. And so that's what I prayed. I started praying, God, make me willing to be willing. And then I heard Shelby Hughes, a little lady that God sent to me the first year I became a Christian. She was with me day and night every day. This woman was like glue to me. And she had been a bunny girl, and she'd been through some stuff 3 years before. And so she and I were just really close. And she used to say to me, she'd say, Jesus, if you'll take one step for Jesus, he will take two for you. And I had a real southern accent. She sounded like you, Rosemary. Say, now, if you just take one step, Jesus will take two for you. I can still hear her saying that to me to this day. And it has stuck with me. God, when it looks impossible, like I just can't do it. If I will just take one step, he'll take two bigger ones. And so I remember taking the handle, that door, and I said, God, I'm going to do it. But I'm telling you, I'm going to take this one step, but you're going to have to take two for me. And I've used this many, many, many times in my life. And so I took a hold of that door handle, hard as it was. It was the hardest first step I ever took in my life. Because I'm telling you, this girl tried to kill me over and over, over again. And I really had a murderous heart for her, consumed with it. And I put that hand to that door, and I opened it to take that first step out of that bedroom on the top of my head. It's just like, felt it just like that, somebody tapping me. It was a bucket of warm, liquid love. It felt like warm, liquid honey. Tapped me here, and it was poured all over me. And I was covered in this thick, gooey substance called liquid love. And it got inside of every pore. It got it inside of me. It got so deep within me. God let me have a good dose of liquid love. And that's all I can explain it. That's what happened. And so here's the first step, right? Boom. The second step, I had all this love. And then from then on, the steps were easy. I went running to this girl. I ran into that room. See, I'm his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He had to get some things out of me and fix me. And I grabbed this girl in front of the whole family. They already thought I'd lost my mind. Now they knew I had. I'm kissing her. I'm hugging her. I felt so much love for this girl. And I'm loving and hugging and kissing on her. And it was like she was my long-lost sister. And she's like, and I mean, I'm just a lavish. I mean, I just cannot explain to you the love I felt from my heart. God changes a heart. He changes a heart. So that day forward, I know how much God loves people. He really loves people. No matter how bad they are, no matter what they've done to you. But you cannot love them till you love yourself and forgive yourself and get rid of the junk and the garbage that God has, that we've the enemy has put in us a lot of hatred, a lot of angers and things. We just have to lay them down at the feet of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my own life because I know there's a mercy seat where the blood never goes away. It's always there. The blood is always there. And I want to finish with this. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He literally cleanses us of everything. Like nothing had ever happened. It's really that easy. It just can't be that easy. I got to do something. No, you don't have to hang by your toes. You don't have to beat yourself with flagons. You just trust him to do what he said. He's faithful and he's just to forgive you. And you just have to forgive yourself. Now, I will say this to a person who hasn't forgiven themselves. Who do you think you are? Better than Jesus? That's pretty proudful if you ask me. Pretty proud. And God hates pride. So if he's forgiven you, who do you think you are not to forgive yourself? He's the one who died for you. I don't think you'd even die for you. But he did. Father, I seal this word today, and I thank you for it, God. You're so good. In Jesus' name, amen.